first off, I want to wish everyone happy Chinese New Year. So let's just take the time. Can you turn to your neighbor and just quickly just wish them a happy New Year and a godly blessing to them? So, happy Chinese New Year once again, and what a joyous celebration it is, because I remember when I was a little girl, I always looked forward to this occasion, because I remember I had to wear new clothes, and then I would eat all these delicious food, like jintou and linggou, and basically all these Chinese pastries, and all these sweet Chinese candies. And of course, the best part is getting laisi, like Chinese red envelopes, right, with filled with money. And another thing I look forward to is seeing my parents, my grandma, my cousins, my aunt and uncle. They would all come together and they would prepare a feast and prepare a meal for everyone. Some of them would buy all these vegetables and meat and they'd prepare the dishes. There are some who clean the house, and they also make sure that all the cutlery and all the dinner, and I mean, all the wine and all the drinks and the food are all prepared, and that they have enough to serve all the guests. But it would probably be very embarrassing if halfway through they realize that they actually don't have enough drinks for everyone. So yeah, definitely disappointing. So just like our story today, how what I'm going to share, that similar, they also ran out of wine at the wedding at Cana in Galilee. So am I getting a lot of feedback, or is everyone here, hear me okay? Okay. So I want to try something different. I know that a lot of us are keeners, where some of us, where we write down all the notes, or sometimes our focus is not at the service, but let me encourage you that we are able to kind of connect with God in a different way. So instead of just writing down all these facts or whatever I'm going to give you, but I don't want us to miss out on what God is speaking to you today. So if you're able to connect with the scripture, connect with God, whether it's Him speaking through me or through others, that with that connection, then write down the feelings or the thoughts that come to mind. That way, this would kind of have this powerful encounter, so you will remember it more. Because what good is it if you just write down the notes and then you just leave and you forget about it? But that the feeling or the emotion, the thoughts that you're going through, let that linger in your mind, let that linger in your heart, and maybe that will move you into action, okay? So before I start, I know that the title of the message says, Jesus VIP guest with a question mark. Jesus, who is a guest with, who's a very important person, but maybe I wanted to look into saying that, you know, not just him being a very important person, but that he could also be MVP, which is most valuable person in your life. So we'll see how that is like. So since we're trying something different, if you don't mind, I want to deliver the message of John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11, like an eyewitness account, kind of where I went back in time and saw what happened, and then bring it back and share with that to you guys today, all right? So if you don't mind, if you just kind of listen along, and I'm going to read the text kind of word for word in NIV, and if you just experience and see what God is speaking to you today, all right? So on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to Jesus, "The wine is gone." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." Jesus' mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by Jews for ceremonial washing, each containing about 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he said to the disciples, Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He didn't know where the wine came from, though the servants who drawn the water knew. And he asked the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of the miraculous signs that Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee, he thus revealed his glory, and the disciples put their faith in him. Let's pray. God Almighty, we trust that your word is truth. So we ask that you would help us enter into this text as you reveal your life to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm sure that most of you have been to a wedding, and even for some of you, even your own wedding, and we realize how important it is, especially not only for the bridal couple, but also for the relatives and also for the friends. Because I remember when I was a little girl, I was a flower girl 3 times in my life, and I was a flower girl for Mariana's parents, and also Kitty's parents as well. It was just a very fun event, and everyone would come and celebrate. So similarly, the Jewish wedding is also the same and also very joyous, and they have the whole community involved. And not only that, it's not just for one day, but it actually expands all the way to 1 week. So you can imagine how there's just a lot of preparation involved. And so they would wear these crowns, and they would wear beautiful gowns and these bridal dress and gowns, and they would be very much treated like a king and queen. They also made sure that they have enough food and drinks to last for the whole entire week. So can you imagine that if you were helping out at this wedding and you realized that halfway through you ran out of drinks, that would be really embarrassing. Looking at that, how would you feel? And for this one, Jesus' mother, we can see that she felt responsible, so she went to Jesus first. And she says, they have no more wine. What about us? You know, when you face difficult times, who do you turn to? And maybe for some of us, we might be going through that right now, where some of us have exams next week, or even some of us might have come out from a broken relationship, we don't know what to do, or even for others where we're waiting for a job and we're just waiting and waiting and there's just no response. And we're just going through all this difficulty where we don't know who to turn to. But let me ask you that, would you turn to Jesus? Would you consider going to him first, just like Mary did? And so, although Mary has never seen Jesus perform a miracle, but I'm sure that she probably seen him many times and went to him in her domestic home and probably seen him solve it. And so we can understand that she naturally went to Jesus and asked for his help. So that's why when she realized that there was no more wine at the wedding, she went to him and said, "They have no more wine." Kind of sounds like my mom sometimes, because I remember when I go home, when the dishes are not washed, she'll be like, "Eileen, the dishes aren't washed." It's like, it's not even a question. It's just a statement kind of implying that, well, go wash the dishes. So Mary kind of implies that, like, you know, Jesus, go solve this problem, right? And not only that, I'm pretty sure that she also has something else in mind, because more than anything, she knew that Jesus wasn't just an ordinary son of hers, but that she was approached by an angel, and this angel told her that you are going to bear a son who is the Son of the Most High, this promised Messiah. So all these years, she's been waiting for him to declare and also manifest himself as this promised Messiah. And so she's waiting and waiting. And she probably thought, well, this hour for sure has to be the hour that he is going to reveal himself to the world. And we realize that's not the case. Because how does Jesus respond to her? He goes, dear woman, I know for a lot of us, it might sound like it's very offensive to say that, but it's actually commonly used back then. And in fact, Jesus uses it again at the cross, where he says to her and address her as woman again. And he goes, why do you involve me? And again, this is very commonly used. In another word, it might mean, don't worry about it. Let me handle it my way. Let me settle it in my time, my way. But Mary hasn't realized that when she says that, and what he says, that relationship between Jesus and mother and Mary would change. Because they no longer would have Mary's influence on him. And so Jesus had to direct her and show her that if I'm going to start my public ministry, that means our relationship would be different. And he directs her to show her who he is, and that he's the Son of God, and that she needs to obey him. He's no longer the son of her flesh who's subjected to her. And then he says, I went too fast. Okay, my hour has not come. My time has not come. You know, Jesus gently showed Mary that this human relationship shouldn't interfere with his God-given ministry. And yet, his answer showed that he understood Mary's deepest desires. And so he showed her and fulfilled her that this promise, that he is the promised Messiah. So what about us? Is there a time when you misinterpreted God's time? And how are you to surrender that to God? Because here, the goodness and power of Jesus demands a response from his people. And our trust in God our faith in God shows our trust in his time and in his way. So let me say that again. The goodness and power of Jesus demands a response from his people. And our faith in God involves trust in his way and in his time. Because only Jesus knew that his hour did not come yet, because it prophesied that he would be riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, and also he will reveal his fullest glory at the cross, which also involves his resurrection and also his ascension to heaven. And so he didn't intend for this wedding to be a sign to show himself to the world. But in fact, it was a sign to show that to show his power, and also that he could take ordinary people and transform them in a way of with abundant joy. And also, at the same time, is to also transform the newborn Christians, which is the newborn disciples of this faith that they just had. And also, this miracle was a sign to show Jesus' tender love to his mom, and also his compassion to his family, and also to the community at the wedding. And so now we have Jesus who gives instructions to the servants. And I love this part about the servants, because sometimes it gets overlooked. Jesus gives two commands. Just quickly turn to your neighbors. If you just open your Bible and see what the first commandment is, just tell them really quickly what it says. So what's the first commandment that Jesus says? Yep. Fill the jars with water. And they fill them to the brim. So I want to give you guys a picture of how that looks like. Fill the jars with water. So we know that nearby stood 6 stone water jars, and they kind of look like this nowadays. Okay, let me see if I get this. Does it work? Okay, there you go. Okay, so This is how big it is. This is just one big jar, and they had to fill it up. And so let me give you a representation of how that looks like. Okay, so there were all these nine wine jars. So 20 gallons times six jars is about 120 gallons. And so 3.785 liters divided by 1 gallon equals 754.2 liters. And you divide that by 0.750 milliliters, that would equal 605 bottles. So if it's 30 gallons, that would be 908 bottles. So for the mathematically impaired, I have pictures to show you. So this is what it looks like, times that too. So that is a lot of bottles that they have to fill. Doesn't seem too hard, but just laborious. Like they just have to keep filling it. But you know, this is what I love. The servants obeyed fully. They filled them to the brim. That means they left no room for anything else. They didn't just obey 20%, 30%, I'll just fill halfway, you know, it doesn't say like fill till when, right? But they filled them to the brim. And so in the end, they kind of became an instrumental to the working of this miracle. And Jesus works in his way, and so our part, we obey him. So for the second commandment, if you just turn to your neighbors really quickly, what is the second command that Jesus gives to the servants? Just tell them really quickly what it is. Okay, so it's, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. And they did so. You know what? Imagine that you are one of the servants and Jesus said that to you. Okay, you just fill the water with, fill the jars of water. But now we're asked to take this to the master banquet. That involves so much risk because to go and bring it to the master banquet, if he tasted, which was not wine and water, they would have been so much trouble. But it says they did so. That says a lot about them. And that's what I'm so amazed by, is that they didn't hesitate and think, who is this Jesus? Who is this guest? They didn't question his authority. They just obey. So there's something about Jesus that just caused them to obey and trust in him. Because if they delayed, like this delayed obedience would be disobedience. So we don't know, you know, the details of what happened and how this miracle was accomplished. But notice that when Jesus says something, the goodness and power of Jesus' glory demands a response for his people. And our faith in God involves trust in his way and also his time. Now, although the master of the banquet didn't know where the wine came from, the servants knew, right? And what a difference there is when this vague belief, like they don't even know who Jesus is, and also that the power of Jesus, he's able to give that to the servants. So this power is available to us, me and you. In an actual experience of his power in difficult domestic or business situation. So experiencing Christ's power proves that these promises are true and also very practical in our rough, difficult times in our lives. And did you notice that Jesus meets their practical needs? He's willing to engage in this human interaction. And he does it in a humble way. Because he started this public ministry, and you would think that he would do something very spectacular, like with the lights and whatever, right? And do this big miracle. But instead, there's a reason why he does it privately. Because if the master of the banquet, if they found out that they ran out of